Tonight we want to I want to add to the greeting already and just say Merry Christmas to each of you. Thank you for taking the time to join us on this Christmas Eve, a chance for us to focus on Jesus Christ and Him being the light of the world, the Savior of all mankind. Tonight I want to talk to you about grace and mercy. I want you to think about what is grace and what is mercy. Not a dictionary definition or something that you've read in a book, but what is grace and what is mercy to you? Oh yeah, He came. Yeah, our grandson came. So, it has given us a new perspective on grace and mercy. Would y'all like to see a picture? Okay, good. All right, Glenn. Glenn, show him a picture. That is our oldest son, Justin. That is he and his wife, Kaylee's new son. His name is Brooks Reed Littlefield. He was born on Monday morning at 10:14 a.m. I could give you lots of stats, but I'll hold off on all that. But he has given us a new perspective of what grace and mercy is, especially what God's grace and mercy is. Since we don't have another service, would y'all like to see a couple more pictures? Okay, good, because I'm going to show you anyway. I have looked at graciously and kindly and joyously looked at thousands of other people's grandsons and granddaughters' pictures. I won't show you 1,000, but I may show you 100. No, I won't do that. I'll show you a couple. All right, Glenn, go to the next one. That is Kisa. She is holding her grandson just a few moments after he is born. She's in love. I may never see her again, but they live up in the Dallas area. But you can see there. Go to the next one, Glenn. There he is. That's just a few minutes after he was born. We like him. We're going to keep him. Many of you have told me that being a grandparent is the best thing in the world. I agree with you now. I wasn't sure before, but I agree with you now. Okay, Glenn, another one. Yeah, that's my favorite so far, other than some videos. I'll spare you the videos for now, but he's pretty cute. We're going to keep him. His middle name is Reed. That's a family name. My oldest son, Justin, his middle name is Reed. My middle name is Reed. My dad's name, his middle name was Reed, and his dad's middle name was Reed. So it's a family name that they chose to pass down. Brooks is just a name that they liked. So another one, Glenn? You got another one? There. There's Honey. She's here with us tonight. She's in love, too. This is her first great-grandchild. That's my mom. I think you have one more on this. There you go. Uncle Colin with his brother Justin. He likes Colin. He didn't cry at all while Colin was holding him. Is there any more in that? No more? Well, I got a phone. I can give you a lot more, Glenn. Let's go to John chapter 1. If you have the Word of God with you tonight, I encourage you to look at it. If you don't, there should be a Bible in the pew there. I encourage you to pull it out and open it. Find the Gospel of John, chapter 1, or you look on your device, your phone, or whatever. If you're at home watching with us, I encourage you to get a copy of God's Word. There's something about holding it in your hands, whether electronically or tangibly, to look into God's Word. But I do want you to think with me about your understanding of God's grace and God's mercy. I want you to think with me about that as we read some scriptures. And I will tell you that these verses in John chapter 1, I was literally a year ago, I was driving somewhere to a meeting and I was listening to a pastor and he was preaching on John chapter 1. And it just stuck with me then. And I prayed then, Lord, help me remember to use John chapter 1 if you lead me to do that for Christmas Eve of this year, so a whole year later. And he graciously has led me to share a message with you today out of John chapter 1. So look with me if you would. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So here in the Gospel of John, we see that John himself declares that in fact Jesus is God. And he always has been. He uses the word here, word. That's the word that he uses. That literally means in the original language, logos, which is a spoken expression. I want you to think about that concept with me. It's a spoken expression. So we know that God sent his son, Jesus, in human flesh to the earth. He is Jesus, but he always has been. He didn't come to being when he was born. He just came to the earth in human form. Verse 2 says, he was in the beginning with God. So he was in creation. Think with me back to Genesis chapter 1. The Bible tells us that when God created, he spoke. He didn't think it. It didn't just happen. He spoke creation into being. In all of the instances in Genesis 1, the word of God says, then God said. And he spoke creation into being. He used word, spoken expression. Jesus was there in creation. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, and other places say that God created all through Jesus Christ. He created the whole universe, every detail of it. Jesus Christ was there. He was a part of it. He was creating because he's always been and he always will be. John declares that. He also declares here, John does in his gospel, that only in Jesus Christ can man find true life. You and I think this is life. We do all we can in this life to make it what we think is good. We try to make it the way we want it to be. We try to live our life according to what we want. It's only when we receive a diagnosis that tells us that our life is terminal, or we're going through some difficulties, or we're watching somebody else go through a terminal situation, that maybe we start to comprehend our eternity and where we'll spend that. But God offers us through his son, Jesus Christ, an eternity with him. In verses 4 and 5, John declares here in chapter 1 that Christ is in fact the light. And he is the light that shines in the darkness. Yet he says in verse 5, when that light shined into the darkness did not comprehend it. They didn't understand that. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus in fact said, I am the light of the world. He declared that. It's a fact. It's truth. But I want you to see that the world didn't understand that, and even today, many still don't understand, as Pastor Will encouraged and challenged us at the beginning of the service today. So go with me a little further in this chapter. Look with me at verses 6, 7, and 8 in John chapter 1. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for a witness that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came that he might bear witness of the light. So God sent John the Baptist just before he sent Jesus Christ. John, as you remember, as the Gospels record, would preach. He would preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Many people would go a great distance out into the wilderness, and they would be baptized by John. They would be baptized into that message of repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But John, the Gospel of John tells us here that John, in fact, was not the Messiah, but in fact, he was a witness, somebody who was testifying of the fact that the light of the world was coming, that in fact, those who believed in him, not John, but the one that was coming as the light, those would be the ones who would believe, who would inherit eternal life. In fact, John the Baptist was just coming not as the light, but as one testifying of the light, and people still didn't believe. Oh, there were people who believed that John had to be the light, that John the Baptist had to be the light. But in fact, he said, I am not the light. I'm coming to prepare the way for the one who is the light to come. Let's continue in John's gospel. Look with me in verses 9 through 13 of John chapter 1. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Christ, in fact, is available to all, John declares, but not all will believe in him, which is amazing to think about. But in fact, Christ is available to all. Many of us are celebrating Christmas, and we understand, because we're here in this room, that it is about the birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. But not all of us will believe in him. Not all of us will put our complete trust and reliance in him and believe in him with all of our being. Well, we believe that the story may have happened, but we don't necessarily believe that he's the Savior of the world. Think about it. The Jews, God's chosen people, who had been told in prophecy after prophecy after prophecy for hundreds of years, knew that the Messiah was coming. They knew he was going to be born in Bethlehem. They knew that he would be declared King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There were so many promises, prophecies about the coming of the Messiah. Yet when he came and fulfilled every single one of those prophecies, they refused to believe that he was the Messiah, because he didn't come in the way that they expected. And maybe that's true for you as you think of grace and mercy. Maybe you haven't fully embraced God's grace or trusted in his mercy. John says here in these verses we just read that not being born of, or being born of flesh does not make you a part of the kingdom of God. You don't inherit eternal life because you were born. Look at what he says in verse 13. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. In other words, just because you were born, just because you came to church, just because you were born into a Christian family, that doesn't make you a believer. But he says, in fact, you've got to be born of God. If you remember, Jesus talked about this. You must be born again. You must believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In verse 12, he says, to those who believe, for as many as received him, who believed in Jesus Christ, to them he gave the right to become children of God. You've got to believe. You've got to believe with your whole life, not just to satisfy your mom or your grandma or your parents. You've got to believe in Jesus Christ as the Lord and the Savior. Continue with me in John chapter 1. In verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. In fact, John says here in his gospel again that the Word became flesh. We know the story. We're celebrating it. Our kids who sat here tonight, they understand the story. But our prayer is that they don't just know the story, but they come to believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. The Word became flesh. God became flesh. We call him Jesus. He lived here and we saw his glory. We saw the things that he did. Remember how the Gospels declare the things that he taught and the miracles that he did in healing people. People would look at that and they would say, he has to be of God. Some people just believe that he was a good teacher. Other people believe that he had to somehow be related to God because the things he were doing could only be attributed to God. In fact, he is. Listen to how it's described in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In John's gospel, what we're reading here in chapter 1, he says that he is full of grace and truth. Grace means that you show someone kindness even though it's not deserved. In Christ, we are not under the law, but in fact, we are under grace, His grace. He doesn't give us what we deserve, but in fact, He allows us the opportunity through grace to be a part of His salvation in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Ephesians 2, verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." He shows us kindness, and we don't deserve it. Truth is what actually happens. You don't have to believe it, but that doesn't change the fact that truth is truth. In fact, Jesus said to His disciples in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Me." Jesus Christ is the truth. Whether you want to believe in Him or not doesn't change the fact that He is truth. John here testified of Christ as the Messiah. Notice the phrase here that he used, of grace upon grace, in verse 16. "For of His fullness," speaking of Christ, "we have all received, and grace upon grace." If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you understand that grace upon grace. How He takes care of you, how He's answered prayer after prayer, even though you know you didn't deserve those. It's like the waves rolling in on the ocean, one after the next after the next. Some are just gentle, but others are big. But they come one after another. They come over and over and over again. God's grace upon grace is like that. If you've not experienced His grace, He offers it to you. And grace, His grace and His truth can only be realized in Jesus Christ as your Savior. So what do you think about grace in your life? Again, not a definition, but what is your experience with grace, God's unmerited favor, Him providing something for you that you really don't deserve? What's your experience with grace? What's your experience with His mercy? Mercy means He withholds what is actually deserved. He doesn't give you what you deserve, and He withholds the judgment. He withholds the punishment that comes. Christ took that on the cross. He showed us mercy, withholding what is actually deserved, what we've earned by the way that we live our life. Grace and mercy. How do you experience, how do you explain, how do you perceive God's grace? How do you perceive God's mercy? This week in our family, we got a new perspective of God's grace in the birth of our grandson, Brooks Reed. Literally holding him for the first time on Monday morning, it was amazing to just think about God's grace. We don't deserve Him. My son and daughter-in-law, they don't deserve Him. I'm grateful that they have Him, but they don't deserve Him. We've experienced God's grace. We've also experienced God's mercy in a different and a new way. Many of you have experienced that. If you've ever held a child, whether it's yours or somebody else's, whether it's crying or whether it's satisfied, whether it's happy or sad, whatever it's going through, when you hold a child, you see and experience God's grace and mercy. I want you to see more of God's grace and mercy, because I got all the time in the world. Glenn, show them another one. Again, when we held that newborn baby for the first time, God's grace and mercy began flooding in, and I thought about tonight how we would celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, and that in fact He was born on this week, the week that we celebrate Christ's birth. He gives us as a family a new understanding of God's grace and mercy. Go ahead, Glenn. Just looking into a child's eyes, or holding them and watching them stretch, or watching their adult parents take care of them, and as grandparents, I don't have to pay for anything except what he wants, which he doesn't know that yet. But to experience that grace in God's mercy, a taste of it. It doesn't compare to Jesus and what He's done for us. Please hear me there. It doesn't compare to what Jesus has provided us through His grace and His mercy, but it gives us a taste. Go ahead, Glenn. And I don't know about you, I do, but for me, it doesn't get old looking at His face. I can go and look at these pictures over and over again, and I'm not going to bore you all night, but go to another one, Glenn. That's Justin with his mom holding the baby. One more. And then the last one. That's very happy grandparents. That's Kaylee's grandparents on our left. That's Keith and I on the right with Justin and Kaylee and Brooks in the middle. One of the things that we did when that baby was born is gather around as a family, those who were in the room, and give God praise for that child. But also my prayer that day around that bed with that baby and that family was that that child would come to know God's grace and his mercy, and that at an early age he would know who Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior was, and that he would learn to follow him all the days of his life, no matter where God takes him, no matter what happens in his life, that he would experience God's grace and his mercy, and that he would experience that on his own as his grandparents and his parents and those who will gather around him throughout his life help him with that. But that one day he will place his faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And in fact, that's my prayer for all of us. If you've believed in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then you understand his grace and mercy. But if you haven't, tonight, I would challenge you as we participate in the ceremony of light to think about what Christ has done for you. Have you experienced his grace? Have you experienced his mercy? In just a moment, we're going to light our candles off of the Christ candle. When we do that, I want you to, many of you have been a part of that, as it spreads through the room, I want you to think about God's grace and mercy and how it's available to anyone. But only those, as John declared to us tonight, who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will actually fully experience that grace upon grace upon grace upon grace, his mercy and his grace. I want to invite the worship team to come if they would. I want to invite the staff and their families to come. Colin, would you grab my candle because I left it there? I want to invite staff and their families to come. Join us here. I want you to find your candle. If you don't have one, I encourage you to grab one outside so you can participate in this. In just a moment, we're going to turn out the lights and we will spread the light as I light my candle off the Christ candle. Share it with the pastors, then they'll share it with you. But our goal tonight is not just to do this as tradition, but to truly do it as a celebration of the grace and mercy that God provided us when he gave us his son, Jesus Christ, as the light of the world. Okay, Glenn. You turn them all out. Would you stand with us, please?
Holy infant, so tender and joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. And wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Amen? Amen? Amen. Would you do me a favor before we pray? Would you blow out your candle with your hand in front? Save the person in the chairs. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that in fact, Jesus Christ embodies grace and mercy. And I thank you that those who believe and trust in Jesus Christ understand and have received that grace and mercy. And Father, I pray for those who are here tonight that haven't yet received, but I pray that before they leave today that they would confess their sins to you, and they would tell you that they believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior with all of their being. And Father, I pray that you would empower them to walk the life of Christ that you have given us, that you have made possible for us through your Son who came in flesh. Father, we love you and we thank you for the chance to celebrate Jesus Christ together. It's in Jesus' name that we pray, and all God's people said, Amen. From the staff families to you, we say, Merry Christmas. Have a great Christmas. Thank you for being here.